For saying anything by way of homily, I wish to extend Christmas blessings on behalf of Father Eckert, Father Graebner, and all the staff here, to you and to all of your family members. Today we celebrate what is probably the favorite feast of the vast majority of people, the Feast of Christmas. And indeed there is good reason for that, because we all celebrate when a baby is born. But we need to be able to look at this mystery in a deeper way. In the first reading today, for instance, St. Paul tells us that in many and various ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. If you think of what we can do today, we can write somebody a letter, we can email them, we can text them, we can send them messages in lots of different ways, call them on the phone, talk to them, whatever. But until you actually see the person face to face and spend time with them, what you really can do is know about the person, but you don't fully know the person. And so God revealed lots of things about himself through the prophets, through the judges, through Moses, through Abraham, and so on. But now he has revealed himself in the fullness of his being. He gave us his own son. He came to reveal his person. We don't just know about God anymore. Now we have the means to actually know him. We heard in the gospel reading today that he was in the world, but the world knew him not. So the real question then is, do we want to know him? He has given himself to us to be known. Do we want to know him? When we stop to think about the mystery of the Nativity of our Lord, we first have to go back and recognize that God could have done this any way that he wanted to. In other words, just as he created Adam and Eve as adults, he could have just dropped down into the world as a 33-year-old one day, been crucified the next day, and it would have been all over. But he didn't do that. Indeed, in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, we already hear that there would be enmity between the serpent and the woman, between her offspring and his. There are many times in the Old Testament where this is talked about. And of course, most famously in Isaiah, where we hear that a virgin will be with child and will bear a son and name him Emmanuel. And so we know that he is to be born. And there is a very good reason for that, other than just the fact that God has declared that that would be, but we ask ourselves, why would God declare that? Why is it necessary? It's necessary for us. One of our problems as human beings is that we don't believe God really loves us. Oh, we know it in our heads, but we really don't believe it in our hearts. And so when we think about what a baby is all about, babies are not only the most beautiful little creatures in the world, they're the most powerful. One little sound and we all run. They're amazing little things. But babies are innocent. Babies are vulnerable. And therefore, we know that if we make ourselves vulnerable with a baby, the baby's not going to hurt us. The baby's not going to reject us. And so that's exactly what happens. Babies are like little magnets that draw people to themselves, and we all let our guard down. Thanks be to God, we can do that. And so God gave himself to us as a baby, so that we can let our guard down, so that we can be vulnerable with him, so that we can open our heart, because we know he's not going to hurt us. Now, the wonderful thing about Jesus, as St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Hebrews, he says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is God. He cannot change. And what is important about that in our present context is that the disposition of our Lord in the crib as that beautiful, innocent, absolutely vulnerable little baby is exactly the same, because he cannot change, it is exactly the same as the one on the cross. Beautiful, innocent, and vulnerable. What that means is that our disposition as we approach the cross should be the same as when we approach him in the crib. Because he hasn't changed at all. Yes, he's grown and developed, and so he went from a baby to a man, but his disposition hasn't changed. So what is his disposition? It is love. St. John said it just most succinctly and most clearly. He said, God is love, period. Nothing else. God is love. And you and I are created in the image and likeness of God. That means we are made in the image and likeness of love. We are made to be loved. We are made to love. We are made to be transformed into love itself. And I always tell parents that when you look at the face of your child, what you should be able to see is the love that you have for your spouse and your spouse has for you being reflected back to you. Because babies are the living, tangible, and fleshed sign of the love of the parents. There is love incarnate. He is love itself. When you look at the face of that baby, it is love itself. That's what God wants us to know. It's what he wants us to receive. But in our secular society, we've turned everything backwards. We have made the secondary primary, and the primary, if it's even secondary, or ignored at all. For instance, we hear in the gospel today that St. John the Baptist came to bear witness to the light. Jesus, of course, is the light that came into the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. And he is the light that enlightens every heart. And so therefore, way back when, people started lighting candles because they were a reflection or a witness to the light. The light in the darkness was a witness to who Jesus is. He is the light. But now with electricity and thousands and tens of thousands of little tiny lights, oh, now we have competitions. We can see who's got the most lights and who's got the best lights and who's got the best light show in their front yard. It's no longer about the light. It is about the lights. It is about the show. It's about what's secondary. What's secondary is supposed to point to what's primary, but it doesn't anymore. The lights that we see are not about Jesus anymore. It's just about the lights. He is the light. And that's what the lights are supposed to point to. We give one another gifts. It's a wonderful thing to do. We wrap them up and we make them beautiful. And that has become, for many people, the focus of what Christmas Day is. What did you get for Christmas? The gifts are supposed to remind us, number one, of the gifts that the Magi brought to Jesus. And since we're made in the image and likeness of God, we give gifts to one another. But the real gift of Christmas was not wrapped up in beautiful paper. The real gift of Christmas was wrapped up in swaddling clothes. And the baby that was in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, the angel told the shepherds he would be a sign to them. Stop and say, well, what's the sign? You don't wrap babies in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes are the clothes of the dead. That's what Lazarus was wrapped up in. They're long strips of cloth, and you wrap them around the dead person's limbs. So what's a baby who is all about life, and this one particularly who is life incarnate? Why is he wrapped up in the clothes of the dead? It's because that's why he came. He took on our nature so that he could suffer and die. As God, he cannot suffer. And as God, he cannot die. So he took a human nature, a human body, and a human soul, and human blood, so that he would be able to suffer and die for us. Why? Same reason as before. Because we don't believe that he loves us. And so we have to ask ourselves, what does God need to do to prove that he loves us? Well, first, he became one of us. He lived a human life. He taught us. But of course, we'd still go, yeah, but. There's always more. How do I know that he loves me 100%? How do I really know that he loves me? Love is only proven in suffering. So he proved it. And as it says in St. John's Gospel, he loved them to the end. He proved his love on the cross. And when we look at the first reading, we're told again that's exactly the reason for the incarnation, the purgation of men's sins. So he went to the cross to take away our sins, which he wouldn't have been able to do in the form that we know it unless he had taken on a human nature. That's what we're celebrating today. And so as we meditate upon this mystery, we recognize that there is this beautiful thing that takes place, not only in the birth of our Lord, and of course, what follows 33 years later, but what he's done for us. He came into time so that we could enter into eternity. He came to earth so that we could enter into heaven. He became the Son of Man so that we could become sons and daughters of God. And we could keep going on and on with these things. But what we have to be able to recognize again is this is his gift to us. In fact, he says in St. John's Gospel, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, well, doesn't that bring us right back to where we started? God gave himself to us in this form so we could know him. Not just know about him, so we could know him. So we could enter into that relationship with him. So that we would be able to open our hearts and receive his love. But love is a two-way street. We have to choose to love him. We first have to choose to receive his love, to accept it, but now we have to choose to love him back. Why? Because it gets even more interesting. Remember at the Last Supper, in the high priestly prayer of our blessed Lord, he spoke about his apostles, but he's speaking also about you and me who would believe. And he said, Father, they are your gift to me. Ever stop and think about that? You are God's gift to Jesus. Do you really think you're worthless trash? Do you really think you're unlovable? Do you really think you're no good? Do you really think God doesn't love you and he hates you? Jesus is God's gift to you, and you are God's gift to Jesus. That's how much he loves you. That's how highly he regards your dignity. You are God's gift to Jesus. But love can never be forced on anybody. Love has to be a free choice. So now it's our turn to choose. He already made his choice. He became one of us. He became completely vulnerable so that we could know him, so that we could love him. So if we are willing to open our hearts to receive his love, now we have the ability then to love in return. That's what he's looking for. Because that's what love is about, giving and receiving. So he loves us, and we love him. He gives himself as a gift, we give ourselves to him as a gift. So with all the gift giving and all the beautiful paper and pretty bows and whatever else that you gave to everybody else and that you received from everybody else, don't forget the gift that God our Father gave to you. Oh, and don't forget, what gift are you giving to him? He wants us to give a gift similar to the one that he gave to us. He gave himself. And all he wants in return is for us to give him ourselves, to receive his love. Come to the crib. Make yourself vulnerable because he is vulnerable. Open your heart because he has opened his. Receive his love because he's pouring out his love. And then love him in return. Remember, it's the same disposition as he has on the cross, where he is completely vulnerable, where his heart is completely open, where he draws us to himself, so that we can once again receive his love, the forgiveness of sin, the divine sonship and daughtership, that we can be united with him, that heaven can be open to us. That's what this is all about. He is our Savior. That's what his name means, Jesus, the Savior. So now the question is simply, not about what God did. That's what we're here to celebrate, of course. It's the incarnation of love itself. It is the birth of the Messiah and the Savior of the world. That's objective. That happened 2,000 years ago. Today, the question is, are we willing to receive that gift? And are we willing to give ourselves to him as a gift? No longer to put the focus on what is secondary, on the lights and the presents and the decorations and all the pretty things, but to put our focus on what is primary, on the gift, on the light that came into the world, on the love who became incarnate, on the life who is present in the person of Jesus Christ, who is giving himself to us and asking us if we are willing to open our hearts to receive his love, his gift, and to give ourselves back to him as a gift.